Morning, everybody. Shall we pray? Mighty God, wonderful Counselor, everlasting Father and Prince of Peace, Lord Jesus, you are worthy of worship. In you all things hold together. In you we have hope. In you we find peace. Would you fill us, each one of us, with your Spirit this morning, till our hearts, Lord, to receive your word and equip us to share your peace with others, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to be looking at the Isaiah passage today, and what an amazing piece of scripture. And I just want to think about those names this morning. Mighty God, Wonderful Counselor, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Wonderful names, all being attributed, all of those hopes and expectations being pinned on to Jesus, our Lord and Messiah, the child who is to be born that we celebrate at Christmas. And I wonder, have you ever thought about your name and the meaning of your name? I wonder how you chose your children's names. I wonder why our parents chose our names. My wife's Naomi, her name means peace. She certainly lives up to that. She brings me peace in my life. I get a few brownie points for mentioning that one this morning. But my father David, King David, he had an authority about him, and that's just as well as he had to bring me up, a king. My own name, Simon, derived from Simeon, means one who listens. And I like to think that I do listen occasionally, although Naomi again may say differently. But I wonder what your name means. And it's interesting, isn't it, how we take on the identity and the character of our names. And certainly that was the sort of tradition in the Old Testament. And here we come to Isaiah 9, the two great poems in Isaiah. Isaiah 7 that talks about the birthplace of the Messiah. And then the one we're looking at today, Isaiah 9, which looks at the character of the Messiah, these great names. Mighty God, Wonderful Counselor, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And in ancient times, you would use double-barreled names like that. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. They were like throne room names. As you entered the throne room with the king on the throne, you would humble yourself and exalt them doubly, if you like. Wonderful Counselor, Everlasting God, Everlasting Father. A sort of double honour. And there's a double sort of taking on of that characteristics of those names. So when Isaiah is writing here, Mighty God, Wonderful Counselor, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, we're in the very throne room of God himself. So we're going to look at those names this morning and think about what that would have meant to the people that Isaiah was writing to. Let's first of all look at Mighty God. Mighty in the Hebrew would have meant warrior or hero, one who delivers. This was a God that would deliver Israel from their tyranny. And some of you remember your Old Testament history at the period that Isaiah is writing in. So you remember King David, glory days, about 1000 BC. Then you had his son Solomon building the temple and all the great glory of Solomon. And then, sadly, after that, it goes badly wrong. We have the divided kingdom. So you can see the northern kingdom there in blue, Israel, and then the southern kingdom of Judah. And at the time that Isaiah is writing, there's a superpower, the Assyrians, growing in the north and expanding their empire. And so Israel, the northern kingdom, is terrified. So much so that it loses sight of Yahweh's amazing power, God's amazing power to deliver them. And they form an allegiance with the Syrians to take on the might of Assyria. And in the process, they invite Judah, their countrymen, their cousins, their tribes, their clans, to join in with the battle against the Assyrian superpower. But Judah refuses. And so the Assyrians come down and basically obliterate the northern kingdom. And we know that Judah holds out for another century or so until the Babylonians come as we've been learning about in Daniel the past few weeks. So here we are, the northern kingdom betrayed by Judah, in political chaos, total uncertainty, a very dark time indeed. And you know what? 2,000 years later, things haven't changed much, have we? The same part of the world going through the same kind of turmoil. Corruption, tyranny. Things haven't changed much. And as we look at verses 1 and 3, look at Isaiah 9, verses 1 to 3, as I read this. In the past, he, that's God, humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future he will honour Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. Zebulun and Naphtali were the most northern tribes of the northern kingdom, and therefore the first to be obliterated by the Assyrian Empire. And they had to wait 7 centuries or so before they would see the great light. But mighty God, he came and he brought that light. And as we see in the New Testament, Matthew 4:13, so Jesus has been born, he's grown up, he's been baptized, he's gone into the wilderness, and the first ministry gets picked up here in Matthew 4. Leaving Nazareth, Jesus went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." So the very first people, those 700 years ago, who were being wiped out by the Assyrian superpowers, they are the first to receive the great light. I wonder what life is like for you. Probably not experiencing the same level of tyranny as people in current day Syria. Of course not. We must stand with them in prayer, praying that the light of Jesus would shine into their situation and that the church be strengthened to shine Jesus' light in the Middle East. But Christmas can be a taxing time, can't it? With politics going the way it is, Brexit and the presidential elections, time of uncertainty, businesses in fear, not knowing what's going to happen. Or maybe even just difficult family circumstances, dark times. I wonder if you need something of mighty God to come and deliver you in the situation that you find yourself in. And today, mighty God is here. That's what we celebrate at Christmas, because the child for whom has been born for us is coming, and a great light is coming. So stand firm, trust in God, because the light is coming. Mighty God, a wonderful deliverer. Also, a wonderful counselor. In the Hebrew, wonderful means miraculous and incomprehensible. We can't understand how wonderful the Messiah is. We still don't fully get it today, even with 2,000 years of worship and history. That's how amazing he is, and the work that he does, and what he achieves for us. This child to be born, what he does for us. And counselor, yes, in the pastoral sense of counseling, but again, in the Hebrew, it means to guide, to lead, and to be a legal representative. When this child comes, he will represent us before God. And we know that when Jesus comes, judgment will come. Look at chapter 9, verse 5 with me. Verse 4. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders and the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. Fire in Isaiah pretty much always means judgment. This is one of his favorite metaphors. And the Midianites, who have just blighted Israel as they entered the promised land, and it took Gideon's amazing victory over them to finally get rid of their oppression, the bloodshed and the oppression and the injustice. wonderful counselor, mighty God, who's going to come and deliver, will judge all those who have caused bloodshed, oppression, and injustice. But as we know, the sovereignty of this wonderful counselor went far beyond any political realm. He was going to deal with the ultimate enemy, the ultimate tyranny, sin and the devil. And that's precisely what this wonderful counselor does. And if we're honest, all of us have fallen short of the standards that God has set for us. We too will stand under judgment on that final day. I wonder, do you know what verdict will be there for you on that final day? This wonderful counselor, though, there is good news, because he has come to give his life that we can be forgiven. This wonderful counselor, this legal representative, represents us before God. A judge was shocked one day in his courtroom to see an old friend that he was about to sentence in the dock. And his friend obviously hadn't done as well as the judge had in his life, this old school friend. And the friend stood before this judge, unable to pay his fine, and therefore would have to pay the penalty for not being able to pay the price. What was the judge to do? He had to be righteous, he had to fulfill his position as judge, and yet he loved his friend. And so he does what only he can do. He judges his friend and sentences him under the full weight of the law. But then, out of his love for his friend, he comes and meets his friend, comes round the other side of the judgment seat, and writes a check for the full amount for his friend. It's a perfect justice, but also total pardon has been given to his friend because the judge paid the price. The child that was going to be born to us, the wonderful counselor, came, as we sang earlier, to the cradle, to the cross, to pay the price for our sin, just like the judge did with his check. I wonder, do you know this Christmas that wonderful news that Jesus has paid the price for every sin? That when that judgment comes, we will be pardoned because Jesus gave his life, his perfect life, and made a perfect sacrifice for us, that we would be set free from the tyranny of sin. Our legal representative, our wonderful counselor, brings good news to us. And that's why we celebrate at Christmas. That's why we're celebrating communion today. Because Jesus has come and paid the price. That baby, from the cradle to the cross, came to win victory for us, to lead us home to our Heavenly Father. Mighty God who delivers us, wonderful counselor who represents us, and the Prince of Peace. We go back to that earlier chapter in Matthew where Jesus says that a light has come on Naphtali and Zebulun. What's the first thing he preaches? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. That check can be written for you and I. And it happens when we bow the knee to Jesus and repent, turn away from those things that we've done wrong, and choose to follow him as Lord. And when that happens, when we do repent, he brings us peace. Peace with God and peace with one another. It's wonderful, wonderful news. And that's all Israel would have had to have done those 700 years earlier. That was Isaiah's message. Repent. Stop following other gods. Put your trust in Yahweh, and he will deliver you. That's all we have to do today. The message hasn't changed. Repent. Believe the good news that Jesus has died for you, that he has paid the price. Turn away from the things that displease God and follow him. Follow Jesus, and he will grant you peace. Now, we tend to understand peace, don't we, as an absence of conflict, a lack of war, a lack of violence. But again, in the Hebrew, the shalom, as many of you will know, it means a total peace, a completeness, a well-being beyond our understanding. And the name prince, czar in the Hebrew, means one who has authority to give. So Jesus has authority to give this holistic, wonderful, complete, total well-being of peace. Look at verse 7. Jesus has authority to give. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. This is King Jesus. This is Prince Jesus, Prince of Peace Jesus, who is sitting on the throne, as we know in Revelation, that wonderful scene in Revelation 4. The Lamb upon the throne, the Lamb who gave his life on the cross, now seated, reigning with the Father. That's who has authority, not the political leaders of this world. This is who is issuing peace, the one who has conquered death and sin, our mighty risen Saviour, the child that went from the cradle to the cross, has risen again. That's what we celebrate at Easter, and now he's risen with and ascended into heaven, reigning with God forevermore. So he has total authority to grant peace. So let us not be like the Israelites, putting our trust in politicians or in finances or perhaps education, but remember to fix our eyes on Jesus in heaven, who has died for us and now intercedes for us and grants us peace. He puts us right with God, doesn't he? That's what righteousness means, to be put in the right with God. That vertical righteousness. But there's also a horizontal righteousness. As we get reconciled with God and we reconcile with one another, that's peace. So don't worry about your presents and your wrapping and your turkey. True peace comes from being reconciled with God through Jesus on the cross. And there's even more news to come, good news to come. It's that Jesus loves to give. Verse 7, of the greatness of the government and peace, there will be no end. Everlasting peace. That's the peace Jesus wins for us. And we can experience that in part now and look forward to when we receive it fully in eternity. Such is the wonderful gift of the child that comes. And the other metaphor, for everlasting Father in verse 6. A Father who provides, who gives. I wonder, do you need peace this Christmas? Are your circumstances such that you're worried or you're worn out, you're fed up, you don't know what the future looks like, you don't know where to turn? Well, I've got good news for you. Jesus loves you and he wants to grant you peace. It's wonderful news. Another favourite verse of mine from Scripture. This is what Jesus taught to all those that follow him, all those that would bow the knee to him as the Prince of Peace. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Do you need rest this Christmas? Do you need God's peace this Christmas? Then look to Jesus. Look to the baby Jesus. And there's even more good news to come. It doesn't depend on our efforts. It's God that achieves this. The zeal of the Lord will accomplish this. That's how our passage finishes today. God is so passionate and so driven, so zealous for you to know his peace, his holistic, total peace that he wants to give you, either for the first time or abundantly again. Wonderful, wonderful news. God achieves this for us, on our behalf, because he is our good, everlasting Father, and he loves to grant us peace, an eternal peace that we experience in part now and will experience fully in time to come. So let me encourage you this Christmas. Whatever your situation, God is with you, he is mighty, and he can deliver. the light is coming. Perhaps you need to be just reminded again of what it cost God to save you from sin, from the darkest tyranny of all. But that victory has been won because he is the wonderful counselor, the one who represents us and saves us from judgment and represents us before God. And being reconciled with God, we can know true peace forevermore. Amen. Let's be still as we pray. Perhaps the band would like to come up. Mighty God, wonderful counselor, everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace, Lord Jesus, you are worthy of worship. We cannot say how much we love you. Would you help us, Lord, to worship you this Christmas, to have a right perspective, to not worry about our circumstances, but to trust you, to look to you for forgiveness afresh, to turn away from those things that displease you, to lives that bring you glory. And Lord, for any here today that need peace, would you give it abundantly as you love to give? And would you seal hope in our hearts now and forevermore? We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.